on the new Sports Hub app and on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tonight, a story about gratitude turning into action and an overriding desire to give back. Mary Schertenlieb has battled back from a dire form of cancer.
And she's also been battling the winter weather, training for her first Boston Marathon. She's raising money for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, a place she and her family say saved her life.
But anytime I run and I'm like, oh man, I just want to quit, I want to give up, I'm like, you know what? I didn't quit. I didn't give up in the hospital.
5 years ago, February 2013, Mary Schertenlieb received a devastating diagnosis of leukemia.
Immediately, when the results came back, I was sent to the ER and they started treatment within hours.
Intense chemo took its toll, but it also worked. She and her husband, Rich, whose voice you may know from the Toucher and Rich show on the Sports Hub, went home with their two little boys, Hank and Max. She had to stay inside because her immune system was so weak. Then came that marathon Monday. The Schertenliebs lived above the Forum restaurant, site of the second explosion.
We grabbed the kids, got her mask, forgot her medicine, and ran out of the building, and the whole time the goal was to keep my wife from getting sick and to keep the kids from seeing what they were seeing.
From there, she relapsed twice, had a stem cell transplant, and eventually at Dana-Farber,
they said, this time we're gonna like nuke you and like throw all these crazy things that we haven't tried before. Are you game for doing that? And Rich and I just said, yeah, let's do whatever we can.
It worked.
Today, knock on some serious wood, yeah, I'm great. I was feeling so good that that's what made me decide to run the marathon.
Mary's running to raise money for Dana-Farber, but it hasn't been easy. Mary's endured a broken toe and medical problems caused by her weak immune system.
I guess I'm thinking more about the people that are currently fighting right now and the people that didn't make it. And I'm thinking about, like, what if we had raised just a little bit more money and it could have saved just that one person?
The percentages weren't good. But they have the best doctors, the smartest people, the best medicine. They saved my wife's life, and I'll forever be in debt to them. And so will these guys.
Mary has been hesitant to go to the finish line since the bombings, but when she crosses this time.
By doing this and actually taking this head on and running across the finish line, I feel it'll finally knock that fear out once and for all.
I think she's been really, really brave, because I could definitely not do any of that.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Rich and the kids will be in her corner.
We're going to be cheering louder than anybody. We are so proud of her and what she's gone through.
Yeah, where are you guys going to stand? That's a great question.
I don't know. We'll be there cheering her on.
She is remarkable to come back from all that. And a broken foot as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be remarkable
incredible.
When she crosses that finish
line. Go, Mary, go.
Five, the Sports Hub. That is, of course, the story of Rich's wife, Mary Schertenlieb, who will be running in these ideal conditions today in the Boston Marathon. Now, is she on this line that's on hold?
She is.
Okay. Mary, hello.
Oh, hey, guys. Brad, like, what's going on with your shirtless self?
Mary, I didn't mean to get you so turned on before the race. Conserve your energy. Conserve your energy.
Oh, my gosh.
You had to get the heart beating fast, you know, in order to get you ready for today's big day.
I apologize for that. It's going to sap your energy being that excited.
How are you feeling looking at the forecast?
I've looked at the weather compulsively for the past week. Every hour I'm like, oh, maybe it'll turn. It's New England. That's what everyone keeps saying. And it's disgusting outside. I keep like, I opened up the curtains this morning and there was this like wind, like spring rain. I think it's just the combo. It's just if it was cold by itself, okay, that's fine. I've been running in cold, but I have not run one day in the rain this entire training, like the past like months and months. If I see it rains, I'm like, well, not running today, I'll run tomorrow. I'm not one of these people that is like, I mean, my hat is off to those people that run in the rain, but I'm just not one of them. So this is definitely freaking me out. And it's definitely freaking me out.
So Rich has got some fakakta plan that he's got to go drive all around the whole course and somehow find you and get you shoes and socks. What is the chances that this that obviously you're going to finish the race. What are the chances are that Rich, though, will be able to find you at any point and oh, get you gosh. These materials?
I just don't want Rich, like, texting me with, like, eight different, like, okay, so we're here, and then I'm trying to, like, figure out, like, where...
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare. But the great thing is that Mary has, like, she's so organized. She's got these packs ready to go, each one labeled, like, stop one, stop two, stop three. And the best thing is...
I don't have a stop three, by the way. That's like some imaginary stuff. In fact, the way I look at it is, even if I change clothes, they're going to be drenched, like, 5 minutes after I change them. So now it's sort of like, what's the point of even changing? I'm going to have wet shoes. Probably the entire time. But I am doing this weird thing where I'm about to put duct tape all over my shoes because apparently that keeps the water out. I don't know. I'm willing to try anything at this point.
Everyone's going to look like a hobo. Like, everyone's going to be just wet and covered in duct tape and their clothes, like, half hanging off. It's going to be
so
like a race of hobos.
You're legitimately wearing trash bags.
Well, I don't think I'm going to now. I was going to, and then it's just annoying. And I'm just wearing my, like... raincoat that I normally wear, which is bulky and huge, but I'm not doing this to get like some like personal best time. A, I've never run a marathon. B, it's pouring, and I mean I could go on this. So I'm like, now I'm just like, you know what, I'm gonna just wear this raincoat, not wearing the trash bag. I just can't. And the trash bag smelled disgusting anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of
effed up on that one, Fred. So I went out everywhere looking for a poncho last night, and everyone sold out of ponchos. They laughed at me at a couple places. Like, oh, yeah, those were out like by 2 o'clock today. So I ended up buying her trash bags, but they're the ones that are like scented.
They're used.
I just actually use a used trash bag.
You just went into the dumpsters and started finding trash bags.
So Mary ended up getting some other trash bags. So you're not going to use those now?
No, well, I don't think so. It's like, have you ever tried running in a trash bag? That's like
just to cut weight when I was wrestling
back in high school.
What was that movie with
Vision Quest? It was Vision Quest.
Oh, yeah, I was Vision Questing all over the place.
Sure.
Well, Mary, your feet are going to be in such good shape when this is over.
Oh my God. I don't even want to think about it.
It's going to be,
I don't know.
Well, the best, Mary, your attitude has been hysterical to watch over like the last month, because she said the only reason she would not run is if it rained. And then like last week, like rain started getting the forecast. She's like, oh, right. And then she's like, I'm running. No matter what, I'm going to run in this thing. And that's because, you know, listen, you know,
good for you.
I mean, it's you know, more of a sickness thing than her, you know, obviously her will is there and she wants to do it. But damn it, if she hasn't had like read every article about how to survive this thing, and she's got like this little belt that she's cramming. And on top of that, her phone battery like dies within an hour.
It's going to totally be dead and no one will be able to find me. I'll be like off in the woods. Like,
yeah, that heavily wooded marathon course. Right?
By the way, somebody said Bill Belichick would not approve of Mary not practicing in the rain.
No.
Hashtag no days off.
That really makes me sad.
So what do you got? Like, what time do you guys get on the buses? When's the big cattle call?
We get on at 9. The good thing is I think, so I'm with, like, the slow group, obviously, and so I think they're more of, like, a fun, like, well, no offense against the really, like, good elite runners, but I think we're all just in here to, like, raise money, have a good time, and I think it'll be good until I start getting wet, and then it'll probably be, I don't know. I'm kind of, it's this weird feeling of being excited, nervous, happy. It's, like, you know it's going to be insane, but it's been, like, I've had so many people like send me like encouraging messages this morning and like all like the past couple days, but it's really like, I don't know, it's helped me out. So I think everybody who's like donated, everybody who sent me a message, it's really, it's made it so that this won't be as bad as what it's going to be until I'm actually out into it.
Well, thanks to a lot of the listeners. Mary, what total are you at right now? You're doing it for Dana-Farber, which, as you heard in the thing before, I mean, Dana-Farber saved her life. I'm not speaking in hyperbole. They saved her life.
They did. They were able to come up with this really crazy, like, the third time I had cancer, they, like, threw the kitchen sink at me, and the medicine they tried was all from, like, recent cancer research. So I'm now at 29,000, I think, like, 300.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, so all like the listeners who donated, thank you, because like all of this combined, so on Marathon Monday, all the Dana-Farber runners together will raise today $5 million.
Wow.
That's, which is insane. I mean, that's like huge. I mean, that you could make a big advancement in something with that. So and it's going straight to cancer research, immunotherapy research, all this stuff right here at Dana-Farber. So
Chris Sale and three relievers.
So I'm going to make a last-minute plea before the race starts. You can go to at Toucher and Rich, my Twitter account, if you would like to donate. Once again, the money is going towards Dana-Farber and their fight against cancer. I've seen firsthand how they have saved my wife's life. And now she's going to be reigning in misery, running in the absolute worst possible conditions. But she,
and if she doesn't finish, all the money goes back.
It's a failure. It's a matter of fact, I will mock her.
Yes, right.
She'll never hear the end of
it. All the money is returned. All $5 million. All the people have to finish. Well, Mary, best of luck, and I'm sure you'll do really well. Thank you.
Oh, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck. Good luck.
Mary's certainly going for it today.
Dan Roach texted me yesterday, and he calls out the names at the finish line, and he goes, hey, I can't wait to see Mary at the finish line. I'm like, hey, what time do you stop working? And he said, 2 o'clock. I said, you ain't gonna see her.
When you were out of town, he said he was gonna stay there. And I'm like,
I told him not to.
I know. Of course you told him not to.
Especially now with it raining. I was like, listen, you know, it's not going to, you know, don't stick around. He's been very cool. Like, he wanted to be there and see her. And I'm like, man, it's going to be raining. And like he said, well, I'll be there till 2. I'm like, no, it's not. She's leaving at 11. I'm like, running like 4-minute miles or something? Like, I can't do math correctly, but I mean, there's no way. So
if she finishes the marathon, that's more than enough.
That's all that matters. No, without a doubt.
Fluto Shinzao is going to join us. We'll talk about if there is any kind of chance for Toronto. I've been hearing about last change for, it's before this whole series started, what his feeling is about that. CBS Sportsman is brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank. Boomer says this athlete is proving that age is just a number.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Back of the net, it's center, Pastrnak backhand, he scores! That's the hat trick! 6 points for David Pastrnak! Eye dangle with the puck, Drew McElhinney down and shovel it by him at the far post! He's got 6 points tonight, and the Bruins with a 7-3 lead in game two!
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. As much as Walk and I felt that the Bruins might have been a little fortunate in Game 1, this one was just a laugher. I mean,
it was over quickly.
The Bruins were perfect. And it looks like their first line can do whatever the hell they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, they have outscored their first line, of Auston Matthews' line, 20 points to zip, which is embarrassing. In the playoffs, that should never happen.
Well, Fluto Shinzawa is with the Athletic, correct?
Yes.
All right, because I've screwed
Brand
that up
hire.
Earlier in the
yes,
show.
That's right.
Fluto Shinzawa from the Athletic covers the Bruins. Hello, Fluto.
Fred, Rich, how are you?
We are doing very well, and when we were talking about this series, we talked to guys from Toronto and a bunch of other people, and they were talking about how important last change is, in that they're getting the right matchup against Austin's line. And how big a deal do you think that is, playing in Toronto and trying to get the right matchup?
Well, it would have been big for them tonight in Game 3 and Game 4 because they would have had at least a better chance of getting the right personnel up against the Bergeron line, but then Nazem Kadri threw his rear end into Tommy Wingles, and he's out for these next two games, and there goes your best matchup center. So that's a very big loss for them, just because they could have put Kadri up against Bergeron and then get Matthews a little bit of breathing room, because it's just been, he was better. He's better in Game 2. He was non-existent in Game 1, so you would think that Game 3 he'd be at least building on a Game 2, but yeah, like you said, guys, just no answers for the Bergeron line, and the Matthews line has not done much. So it's going to be a little bit better for Toronto in terms of getting the right people on the ice tonight, but without their best defensive center, it's still going to be a handful for those guys.
Do they have personnel that you believe can kind of just slow down the Bruins' first line at all, or is this going to be the story of the whole series?
Yes and no. I suppose Well, Morgan Rielly's a pretty good defenseman. He's just had, like a lot of defensemen have, he's had trouble against that line. And it's easier said than done to play against them just because they're so good. They chase the puck relentlessly. They go after it like it's their wallet, how hard and how fast they go. So he can be better. They can get perhaps Marlowe, perhaps Marner. They can get some people up against them. But then the issue is, then what do you do about Krejci, Nash, and DeBrusque? And in theory, that was the reason the Bruins went after Nash, was, okay, maybe if the opponents go after the Bergeron line and kind of keep them quiet, then they're probably going to be using their best players against that line. Then maybe you're using a second or third line and a second pair against Krejci and Nash and DeBrusque. And we've seen them. They've been pretty good. They were very good in Game 1 and Nash's first game back from a concussion. They were okay in Game 2. So, that's the problem. If they really try and go after Bergeron, these guys should have a little bit more room tonight.
All right. Did you agree with the 3-game suspension for Kadri?
Yes. Yes, and it would have been more if Wingles had gotten hurt. He seems okay. He missed one day of practice, but the guy even said after the interview, after the game, that he saw Wingles go high on Marner, and that was why he went after him in kind of reading between the lines. It was clearly there was intent there. He had gone after Wingles earlier in the game and gotten a penalty. Granted, perhaps a borderline one. But it's just, you can't do it. You can't do it. You could see everything going through motion through his head once he saw Wingles go after Marner there. Oh, game's over. I got to get this guy. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that Kadri lost his mind and he's out, but that's absolutely appropriate.
All right. On a completely different level of potential violations, I guess it was reported over the weekend that the NHL is going to look into what Brad Marchand did to Komarov with a little kiss and lick on the neck. Why would they want to punish people for doing that? Why would they want to take it out of the game? Do you see that getting any traction whatsoever and possibly becoming an unsportsmanlike conduct?
granted, I've seen Brad play for a long time, and I've never seen him do anything like that, but... I mean, wouldn't you rather a lick than a stick between the legs?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, he's ingenious.
He found a way to screw with the guy without breaking the rules. Yeah.
He's very good at that. He loves to get the stick in uncomfortable places. So if I'm Leo Komarov, please bring on the licks and the kisses and the hugs and everything rather than the stick. So that's just, it's... I think if you're the Bruins, what you're afraid of with Brad is that the stuff happens the other way, that they're initiating that kind of thing, they're playing physical against him, and then he loses his mind and goes after the guy, because we've seen the suspension history. If he goes crazy like Kadri did, then his suspension is a lot longer than 3 games. So, hey, as long as he's doing it, I think, and Bruce Cassidy said, it's goofy, but we don't mind goofy around here.
Well, especially in Game 1, he showed a lot of restraint. I mean, they were going after him after the whistles, and he showed some discipline there at least. So that was good to see.
If you're the Leafs, why not? That's one of your best players, and if he's going to lose his cool, then absolutely go after him and try and get him off his game.
Rielly Nash has been a bit of a mystery. Do you see him coming back tonight? Or is this with the 2-game lead? Do they feel like they don't have to rush things?
Well, it all depends on how he feels, right? And he said the other day he feels good. He practiced yesterday again. If he's feeling all right, and obviously if he's on the ice, he doesn't have any headaches or dizziness or whatever the symptoms were. So, and if the legs are good and everything is systems go, then absolutely green light. He's back in. He's your third line center. You probably go back with Heinen and Backes, and that's yet another issue that the Leafs have to deal with, because Bruce feels comfortable using that line as a defensive line.
Fluto, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, if they go up against the Matthews line, that's another problem for the Leafs.
Pluto, much is made of the physicality aspect before the series started. The Bruins were the more physical team. Toronto was faster. And through 2 games, the Bruins have owned the area in front of the goaltender on both ends of the ice. What can Toronto do, or can they do anything to change this?
Boy, they gotta get the puck a little bit more. When they're successful is when they're clearing the puck and they're getting their young guys the puck in center ice with speed. They haven't done enough of that. Marner's had a little bit of room with the puck. He's probably been their best forward, but they've got to do the same with Matthews, with Nylander, Kapanen. He's had a few very good chances. He hit the post tonight. So they got to get those guys the puck with pace, with speed, and with room. So that's really their game. And then maybe that net front stuff will open up. But yeah, as good as the Bruins have been in front of the net at both ends, they've been very good at center ice and limiting Toronto's chances and speed through the neutral zone. So if the Bruins continue that kind of efficient play, and center ice, that saves them a lot of headaches in front of the net, which is where Toronto wants to go.
All right, Fluter Shinzawa, thank you for your works for theathletic.com, and we always appreciate you coming on.
You got it. My pleasure, guys.
All right, thank you. By the way, you can stream every NHL Bruins game during the NHL playoffs. I like how it says at NHL Bruins, hashtag NHL playoffs. All right. You can stream.
That's a little quick copy and paste.
Yeah, right. Stream every NHL Bruins game, or any Bruins game, Jesus, during the playoffs on the free 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download it now at 98.5thesportshub.com/app. And the first caller of the hour was Fluter Shinzawa. And let me tell you, he was brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. Nick was out at the Celtics game and talked to people after the overtime win.
Butcher and Rich. For the players, it's a slam dunk. But after the game, it's slammed drunks.
Hey, no woman ever better than you.
This is the Toucher and Rich Drunken Celtics Recap on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and this is indeed the season. You have the Bruins in the playoffs looking very good, and you have a Celtics team severely underhanded in a very exciting game yesterday, winning in overtime. And Nick has made his way out to a lot of these games. We met Johnny Knuckles, or whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, that'd be Nicky Knuckles.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat.
Okay. I wonder if Anderson ever made it out to that park in Quincy.
When would that be?
Come to Marymount Park in Quincy, and I'll school you in street hockey.
Maybe he would.
That's right.
You don't mess with Nicky Knuckles.
No, you don't. He throws fisticuffs.
But in the meantime, real quick, while we're playing this, I do need somebody. If there's a baller out there, all right, someone who's down with balling and knows all the balling lingo, I do want to quickly play this clip before we get to the recaps. If someone can explain to me if there is any kind of basketball slang that we don't understand that Cedric Maxwell is using in this clip, and explain it to us.
Ball in safe for the Rozier. Clock rolling. 9 seconds to go in game one. Rozier out of the right side. Now the motion starts away from the ball. Rozier switches to the right hand. Steps back. Good look at a three.
No!
Got it! Terry Rozier giveth. And then Terry Rozier, they just have taken game one away from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Somebody got some on the bomb in his shoes, and it smells like Steve.
Okay.
Somebody got embalming shoes?
Somebody got something on the bottom of the shoes, yeah. And it smells like stink.
Yes.
If anyone can interpret that for us.
Yes.
The agent showed
up. Yes. Cedric Maxwell tipping his cap to a stiletto on a nice dead man.
How did I not see this coming? And by the way, he had another one, so you can explain this one while you're at it, too.
Left side for Jaylen Brown. Hand off Mars. Decent look. Left side three. Score it. And the foul on Giannis.
Ooh. When it goes bad, it goes bad. Grandma, get that sweet potato pie. You didn't put anything in it. Ugh, that was nasty.
Okay, that's...
I understood that one. I explained that one to you guys earlier.
Somebody get... Mama, get the sweet potato pie. You didn't put nothing in it?
No,
Mama,
get out of here.
Potato pie so I can step in it.
Oh. Yeah,
that's what it was.
D.A., you right. And your obsession with feet. Get your teeth out of here. If anyone can interpret that, any kind of idea what Cedric Maxwell is trying to say... Maybe I'm just not down with the street lingo.
I think you're putting way too much thought into it. These are just stream of consciousness, I think, what he's doing.
So let's go out to Causeway Street. Here is Nick outside after the Celtics game.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yeah.
What's your name?
My name is Matthew, and I'm out here representing the Celtics. I just want everybody to know we out here. We up one game to nothing. Giannis traveled all night. We still got to win. No Marcus Smart, got to win. No Kyrie Irving, got to win. No Daniel Theis, got to win. And I'm about to go get some so I got to go. We out here.
Get some, wait, I'm sorry, get some what?
He's going to go get some blank. He's got to go. Hook up with a lady.
Okay. All right.
No. Oh.
He's got to go hook up with a lady.
Sounds okay. Like it.
Got it.
She's on the clock.
Got to win. And I'm about to go get some so I got to go. We out here representing USA. Greece sucks.
Wait.
See.
No, I mean, now the international relations between Greece and the U.S. have never been poorer.
Right.
Or maybe he was just not a fan of Travolta.
Okay, that was such a great reach. That one actually landed, though. That
was pretty good.
She's a beauty school dropout.
She's no graduation day for her.
Nah.
Greece sucks. That car race wasn't realistic.
Grease lightning my ass. It makes the ladies cream.
You know what's funny is that somewhere there is like a video of my older brothers in their talent show in fourth grade.
Oh, no.
Doing Grease. Oh. And like Grease has like A, a swear word in it, and B, that whole line is in the chorus.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst line in like the history of music.
And it was a Catholic school. You know it ain't blank when you're getting lots of blank grease lightning. Like it's in fourth grade in front of like a Catholic school. And all everyone's like clapping their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it ain't blank. I'm getting lots of blank. Amen.
Makes the ladies, yeah.
Wait, hold on. What other thoughts do you have about the game?
You know what else I have to say? We out here representing Greece ain't got shit on the United States, baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking after the game.
All the Greeks are going, yeah, well, okay.
Screw olives.
That's right.
Hummus, take it outside.
Let's go!
Hold up. What are you holding up right? What do you have right now?
I got an American flag in my hand because I'm getting sick of all these grease flags all over the place.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, Giannis.
Giannis is Greek.
The Greek freak, yeah.
No, I know, but why is it? Who's got all these Greek flags?
There were a couple of big ones right behind the basket yesterday. I saw them too. It was weird.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's not weird. I mean, it's pretty, you know, not exactly a big deal.
Were they singing, "We're going to bowl tonight"?
Grease 2! Grease 2 was all right.
Once they went Michelle Pfeiffer, he was okay with
it. Well, he was a cool rider.
Yeah, it's cool rider.
Yeah, he was a cool rider. I need a cool rider.
The ordinary boy is going to do. I need a rider that's cool.
Right.
Even I know those words.
Where does the pollen go, or is that a different one?
They thought he was all uptight and British. But in reality, he was cool. He learned how to ride a cycle.
And I got Tommy Heinsohn in my other hand. You know why? Because he's been up in the Celtics since 1950.
What is he, ski polling?
Jeez.
Is that what that move is called?
Yeah.
Google that, will I find some disturbing videos? Ski polling?
I don't know if that was a regional thing or...
Now let's go!
All right, what do you think about that guy? What's his name? How do you pronounce his name?
Giannis?
Yeah.
Giannis sucks, bro. I'm going to get more than him tonight. Peace.
Just knock your glasses off.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my God.
He knocked off my glasses.
All of a sudden, he's one of the jerky boys.
He got my glasses.
By the way, okay, somebody is telling me that what Cedric Maxwell said right there was that somebody's got something on the barbecue and it smells like steak. There's no way.
No, that's not what he said
no,
at all.
There's
that's
no way it. That's what he said.
No.
All right, well, we have...
That would make sense?
Something's on the barbecue, and it's, I guess it's because he's hot? You know, he's heating up?
Why would you say it's steak? Yeah, that makes as much sense as the crap on the bottom of the
Because you wouldn't smell the steak if it wasn't a hot flame underneath it? I got to try to think Max and Ease here, okay?
I think you're really overthinking this whole thing.
You
I
think it's just words?
Yes, they're non sequiturs. They're just, it's just crap. Steve, go ahead.
Morning.
Hey.
All right. Here's what I think Cedric Maxwell said. First of all, he's nuts. Second of all, I think he said that he stepped in doo-doo.
Well, why would you say
that he was lucky?
What? Now, what would that do with someone making a great shot, someone stepping in doo-doo?
I wonder if he thought it was a great shot or a lucky shot.
No, but he's calling the Rozier shot.
Yeah, because that wasn't a lucky shot.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rozier made that move and then was wide open.
Yeah, and then Vlad said, I ain't even trying. I'm just going to have a snack. When's it snack time?
We'll break and then we'll come back. We have another one of these from outside the garden.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jane Larkin, left side for Jaylen Brown. Hand off Morris. Decent look. Left side three. Score it. And the foul on Giannis.
Ooh. When it goes bad, it goes bad. Grandma, get that sweet potato pie. You didn't put anything in it. Ugh. That was nasty.
Chris.
There you go. Cedric Maxwell not participating in the drunken recaps, but nonetheless.
Speaking like someone who does.
Sounding like he might be involved. And Nick was out in front of the garden yesterday as the Celtics thrilling overtime win.
That shot that Chris Middleton made was absolutely ridiculous. You're not going to see that again. I mean, that was so
0.5 seconds. Just you got to get it. You got to get it up right away.
From
the red Auerbach.
Yeah,
signature.
On the signature, yep.
I mean, that's, you know, that's a three-quarter court shot.
Twitter was pretty funny yesterday because Jave Stew, I think, tweeted out, Rozier for the win! And then immediately afterwards, not so fast, yeah. You know, immediately underneath that. So he was,
I had a canary in my mouth.
Yes, I know, you were very busy, Mr. Kitty Litter James Stewart.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's cold, so the birds are confused.
They are, that's how they you can nab them quicker, too. They're frozen in fear.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I got one out of a cage.
Okay.
Then I ate it and put it back. Tee-hee. Okay. Here's a surprise.
It has no head.
I decapitated it.
All right, Kenny Lillard, James Stewart. That is not a nice thing to do.
Then I left it as a gift.
Huh. For who?
For my owner, stupid.
Okay. Thank you.
Look what I did. I caught a bird. You jackasses.
Catch a bird. It wasn't very difficult. Bird was in a cage, you see.
I jimmied the lock, stupid.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
No pun intended.
Right.
All right. So here we go. So Nick was out in front of the garden, and here's what he did.
Let's go! Let's go!
All right, what's your name?
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
What's your name?
Philippe.
They call me Daddy.
All right.
They call me Daddy.
All right, Daddy. Can we use this for the rain?
Of course you can.
Hold on. Come here. I got to interview you, too. What's your name?
Mateo.
All right.
Of the toy fortune.
Mattel?
Yeah, from the toy fortune.
I thought he said Mateo.
I thought he said Mattel.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
He loves He-Man figures.
Well, listen, he's still riding high.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Use this for the rail.
I got one of my arms.
All right, what do you think about today's game?
We need to get another 4
of those
so we can finalize this.
Or 3. Hey, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
If you get 4, that means you've already advanced beyond the first round.
That's a great point.
When you have the Mattel fortune, you don't have to do math.
So we can finalize this.
We can keep the train rolling. Keep the train rolling. Get the ball more to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier and the whole starters get 25 points a game.
Woo!
All 5 of them. And we don't even need a bench. The reserves.
Woo!
Status.
Woo!
Woo!
What about you? What are your thoughts about
that? Oh, I think Terry held that space real good on that last shot, man.
Wide f***ing open.
Oh, wide open, man. He held it.
Easy breezy.
Here's the thing. I'm a soccer coach. I think one of the things that Brad Stevens makes sure with his teams is that they're able to get to that hoop and then finish the playoff.
Okay. All right. Spoken like a true soccer coach.
Well, that's a great insight and the commonality of the two sports.
Listen, let me tell you something about Brad Stevens. I'm a soccer coach, so I got a little bit of inside track here.
Why not?
Listen, everybody, I work at a newsstand.
Makes sense.
And so I can tell you this.
I'm a soccer coach.
Hey, I work at Best Buy. And let me tell you something.
I want a shirt that says,
here's the thing. I'm a soccer coach.
Okay, just there so I can have that. Anytime anyone questions my knowledge on anything, yeah. I just point at the shirt. Here's the thing. I'm a soccer coach.
Come on.
Here's the thing. I'm a soccer coach. I think one of the things that Brad Stevens makes sure with his teams is that they're able to get to that hoop and then finish the playoff.
All right, good.
It's not necessarily the three shot, which sometimes we get good at.
I'll walk with you.
All right? All right. It's not necessarily that three shot.
No, Brad Stevens' offense almost never relies on three-pointers.
Or the three shot.
That's right. That's the name of the play, the three shot.
Right.
Well, listen, that's what they call it in soccer.
Right.
I've seen the refs pull off the three shot.
Sure.
Several times.
Right. I mean, Brad Stevens doesn't really concern himself with the lipsy dipsy.
But what it is that we can finish a layup, and I'm a soccer coach. Yeah. See, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So let that sink in.
By the way, the coach of the revolution in front of the king.
Yes.
USA, Greece sucks.
Okay. Oh. I'm glad it does. Thank you very much.
I just like taking the great offense to the Greek guy being from Greece.
What do you have right now?
I got an American flag in my hand because I'm getting sick of all these Greece flags all over the place.
I mean, they're revolting.
Greece ain't got shit on the United States, baby. I mean, let's go.
How many times has the U.S. been at war with Greece?
Yeah, it sucks, bro. I'm going to get more than him tonight.
Okay, well, all right. Well,
I don't care for their mythology and everything else that goes on over there.
We need to get another 4-0s.
We should.
Yeah. Maybe he was just pointing at donuts.
Here's the thing. I'm a soccer coach.
And then he doubles down and says, I'm a soccer coach.
Yeah. And you want to hear it? You want to know why?
I think one of the things that Brad Stevens makes sure with his teams is that they're able to get to that hoop and then finish the playoff.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah. One of the weirdest people in the history of the planet has passed away.
Oh, we got to wait till 9:20 for that.
Okay, we have to wait till 9:20 for that. Okay.
Because I have audio. I had to search and I found it. I actually had a moment because of this guy.
Yeah, this guy he has passed away. He's probably the weirdest broadcaster of all time.
He's one of my favorites.
I had actually never heard his show.
Oh, you see, because of, like, my band used to come home from shows really late at night, we would listen to his show.
Yeah, I never heard it.
Oh, at 9:20, one of the weirdest human beings ever, and one of the most fascinating radio personalities. No one's like him.
I can only imagine the theories about how he died. I mean, you know, there's the reality.
Oh, sure.
There's going to be a million theories.
Oh, of course.
Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teamtombrady.com. No commercials here, just the headlines.